Hello and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Monday, April 8th, and we start with local news. Mule Day crowd-goers in Columbia enjoyed a multitude of festivities throughout the week, with weather marked by beautiful spring temperatures and plenty of sun. The Mule Day wagon train rolled into town last Wednesday, kicking off festivities as covered wagons and wagoneers continued the age-old tradition dating back to the 1840s. On Friday, as part of the Mule Day festivities, the auctioneer contest took place, which benefits the Breakfast Rotary to help fund their scholarship program. Front Porch Radio's Del Kennedy attended the event and spoke to Daryl Elshai about how to learn more, rather, about how the contest worked.
$500 bid at 25, thank you. And now 50, and now 75, and a one, and a quarter dollar bid at 125, and a 150, 175, and a two, now a quarter, and a two and a quarter dollar bid at 25, and a 225, and a 200 here, and now 225, and a 10, 20, and a 2 and 10, now 20, now 20, 20, 20, 30, and a 230, 40, and a 230, 40, now $50 bid at a one and a jet, 50, 75, and a 275, and a 250 then, and now 75, and a 75, 55, and a 250. I'll take 260 if you want to do it for scholarships now, 250's bid, and now 260 right down here. Put it on number 777-777-250. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Shane McCarroll from Clarksville, Tennessee. Your contestant number 22.
This is Elk Kennedy, Front Porch Radio. Friday afternoon, I am out at the Tennessee Livestock Producers Auction Barn. The place is packed. The Columbia Breakfast Rotary is having an auctioneer's contest. I'm speaking with Daryl Alshie, who is a member of the Columbia Breakfast Rotary. Daryl, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir, and welcome. We're proud you're here with us.
Glad to be here. It seems like a great event. There are a lot of smiling folks. I've never seen so many Texas cowboy hats in my life. These auctioneers are wearing them. Tell me how this works.
Well, Mr. Dell, the Columbia Breakfast Rotary Club started this 13 years ago as a way to support our scholarship fund. And these auctioneers pay an entry fee and bring items that they will auction, and all the money goes into our scholarship fund. And then the Breakfast Rotary Club and the veterans in the county through Post 19 supplies the items for the top 10 auctioneers to come back for the grand championship. And again, all that money goes back into our scholarship fund here at For Breakfast Rotary.
And you have a panel of judges who determines the winning auctioneer. Is that how that works?
Yes, sir. We try to provide a variety of judges from all different, whether it's automobile auctions, livestock auctions, estate auctions, real estate auctioneers. But we find folks that have a history and tradition and a long legacy in our industry that can come and sort through these auctioneers and help us pick a grand champion.
So much fun. I remember a couple of years ago, I bought a toy fire truck for my grandson. He still loves it. So these donated items, they're auctioned by these auctioneers who are in the contest, and the proceeds the Columbia Breakfast Rotary uses to provide scholarships for Maury County kids.
Absolutely. All that money stays here. It's dedicated to the scholarship fund. And today we have auctioneers from eight states. The farthest auctioneer away is from California today to be in our contest. This contest has a reputation of being the gateway to some of the national championships. We've had several national and international auction championships that have been our Mule Day champion.
Fantastic. Again, Del Kennedy, Front Porch Radio, Tennessee Livestock Producers Barn. It's Mule Day Eve. I'm at the Auctioneers Contest put on by Columbia Breakfast Rotary. It's a great contest, fun to watch, and along the way they raise money for scholarships for Maury County kids. Daryl, congratulations.
Thank you, sir, and we're proud you're here.
Thank you.
On Mule Day morning, Saturday, Farm Bureau held their annual breakfast gathering. This year, U.S. Senator Bill Hagerty attended the event. Our own Del Kennedy got a chance to speak to the senator to get his impressions of Mule Day and about some of the legislation that has been pending in Congress.
This is Del Kennedy, Front Porch Radio. This morning, it's Mule Day. I am at the Tennessee Farm Bureau Mule Day breakfast. I'm speaking with Senator Bill Hagerty. Senator, welcome to Mule Day.
Well, it's great to be here with you, Delk. It's great to see you again. I think we've known each other certainly more than half my life.
Well, we were in school together a long time ago. It's great.
I won't say how long it was.
It's been a while. Have you been to Mule Day before?
No, this is my first Mule Day.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, welcome. Welcome to Mule Day. It's going to be a great day. Will you be in the parade?
Oh, yeah. I'll be in the parade. I think this is the first of three breakfasts that I'll attend. But we're going to have a great day today.
That's awesome. Now, one thing of interest, I noticed that you introduced an amendment to a recent appropriations bill, I think, to prohibit the Biden administration from flying, chartering flights for illegal migrants from foreign countries and flying them into the United States. Every Democratic senator in the U.S. Senate voted against it. Tell me about that.
Yeah, what they voted to do is to continue to use taxpayer funds to charter planes to fly from Haiti, Cuba, Venezuela, Colombia, flying illegal aliens into our country. 320,000 last year, Delk. Can you imagine that? 320,000 illegals flown in here by the Biden administration last year, and every Democrat voted to continue doing that. You got to ask yourself, what's the motive behind this crime? Well, 2 weeks prior, every Democrat voted to continue to count illegal migrants, illegal aliens, whatever you want to call them, in the census in order to apportion congressional districts and electoral votes. If you just look at the number of people that the Biden administration has flooded into this country just since Joe Biden came in, that would account for 13 congressional seats. 13 congressional seats these number of illegal aliens would account for. It's shocking. It underscores the motive behind what's happening right here, because if you look at the carnage on our southern border, whether it's fentanyl, whether it's people coming in here that are on the terrorist watch list, or human trafficking, they're willing to tolerate all of that to gain power.
Thank you for representing for Tennessee in the U.S. Senate. And I did have to ask one serious question, but let's forget about that and have a great Mule Day.
All right. Thanks, Del. I'm looking forward to a wonderful day today. The weather's great. It's a beautiful part of our great state. I'm looking forward to a wonderful day today.
Thank you, Senator. Happy Mule Day.
Good to see you.
Saturday was marked with the culmination of the week with the Keystone event, the much-awaited annual Mule Day Parade on West 7th Street, where crowds swarmed to see farm animals, decorated floats, the Mule Day Queen and her court, locally elected officials, and acclaimed country music artist and parade grand marshal, Clay Walker. Mules and farm animals stole the show, as usual, at numerous competitive events at Murray County Park Saturday and Sunday during the 50th anniversary of Mule Day, from log pulling to mini mule races and even a pet show. A country line dancing flash mob performed on Saturday, while a Mule Day church service helped close the events on Sunday. Nashville Metro Council member Courtney Johnson is running for Congress, challenging U.S. Representative Andy Ogles for the Republican nomination in the 5th Congressional District. Johnston sharply criticized Ogles while outlining her own conservative credentials in a formal campaign announcement on Friday. "I support President Trump. I'm pro-life. I'm for immediately securing the border and fully funding law enforcement," Johnston said. Andy Ogles says he believes all that too, but he's a totally ineffective politician who's getting nothing done. He hasn't passed a single bill into law. We need a real conservative leader who will deliver results, not a do-nothing grandstander who just chases headlines. That's why I'm running, she said. Johnston and Ogles will battle it out in the August 1st GOP primary with Tom Guarente, a Brentwood cybersecurity executive. Meanwhile, Nashville advocate and chair of the Metro Human Relations Commission, Miriam Abelfalzi, qualified on the Democratic primary ballot alongside Kieran Sripada and Arnie Mollum. Johnston currently serves as a council member representing the Creve Hall, Paragon Mills, and other neighborhoods in South Nashville, stretching down toward Brentwood on Davidson County's southern border. Johnston has represented District 26 since 2019, securing her second term in 2023 unopposed. She is among the more conservative members of the generally progressive-leaning 40-member body. Johnston was one of a 10-member minority in the summer of 2022 to vote in favor of a draft agreement that would have paved the way for Nashville's consideration as a host city for the 2024 Republican National Convention, which ultimately went to Milwaukee. She has been a staunch supporter of law enforcement throughout her council tenure. In 2022, Johnston carried a bill that paved the way for the launch of Nashville's first license plate reader pilot, despite opposition from multiple community groups over the technology's implications for minorities and risks to individual rights and safety. Following the pilot program, she was one of 24 council members to greenlight LPR expansion. Johnston, a fiscal conservative, has served on the council's COVID-19 Financial Oversight Committee and Audit Committee, among others. She's a real estate agent with a background in entrepreneurship and finance. She holds a bachelor's degree in finance from Louisiana State University. The Trial Court Vacancy Commission is accepting applications for a circuit court judge in the 22nd Judicial District, which covers Murray County. This vacancy will be created by the upcoming retirement of Judge David Allen on August 3rd. Qualified applicants must be licensed attorneys or at least 30 years of age, residents of the state for 5 years, and residents of the 22nd Judicial District. The commission is committed to encouraging a diverse judiciary and welcomes all qualified attorneys to apply. Interested applicants must complete the Trial Court Vacancy Commission application and submit it to the Administrative Office of the Courts by noon on Wednesday, April 17th. Applicants must submit by the deadline the original signed unbound application and a digital copy of the application in order to be placed on the list of candidates for consideration for the judicial vacancy. The commission will hold a public hearing to consider applicants on Monday, May 20th at Columbia Central High School, located at 921 Lyon Parkway in Columbia, at 9 a.m. local time. For more information, visit www.tncourts.gov. Democratic challengers have qualified for the ballot in all of Murray County's state legislative races this year. The following candidates qualified for the August 1st Democratic Party primary. In House District 64, currently held by Representative Scott Sapicki, Alex Pierce of Columbia was qualified, along with Eileen Wilson Longstreet of Spring Hill. In House District 71, currently held by Representative Kip Capley, Tim Coy of Clifton in Wayne County qualified. In Senate District 28, currently held by Senator Joey Hensley, James Dallas of Columbia has qualified to run. Greg Hanners of Columbia will also appear on the August 1st general election ballot. He secured the Democratic nomination for school board in District 8 in the March 5th local primary. Across Tennessee, Democrats are running in 12 of 16 state Senate races and 74 of 99 state House races. This is the largest class of Democratic candidates running in the presidential election year since 2004, according to the Tennessee Democratic Party. More information about their candidates will be posted on their website, www.murraydems.org. Contact information for these candidates may also be obtained through the Murray County Democratic Party. Spring Hill Public Library presented its annual report to the Board of Mayor and Aldermen addressing the facility nearing its capacity for space, which, while also being short-staffed and growing in memberships. Library Director Dana Giroux presented the annual report on Monday. Giroux shared many examples of how, while Spring Hill's library maintains a level 5 status, or a library that serves a population greater than 50,000, it falls below the state standards in many areas. For example, Spring Hill's library space is approximately 17,000 square feet, while other Tennessee Level 5 libraries in cities like Johnson City, Kingsport, Brentwood, and others range between 26,000 and 55,000 square feet, with some also being multiple stories in height. If we had the square footage that some of those other libraries have, there's no doubt we would have things like HOA meetings in our facility, more scout troops, Giroux said. We would have more businesses using our makerspace and our other areas, she said. Staffing also falls below the standards, which requires 15.5 full-time equivalent employees. Spring Hill currently has 12, lacking 2 full-time clerks as well as 1 full-time computer maintenance training person. This has prompted library staff to find a solution by requesting 2 new self-checkout stations for members to curb the staffing shortage, as well as 10 laptops for computer instruction. There is also a need for additional shelving, which Giroux said is at its capacity. The additional shelving gives us one last row, because that's all we can fit, Giroux said. After that, ADA would have a problem with us not leaving space for wheelchairs to get through and carts and strollers. We no longer have room for new materials that the public is demanding, she said. While square footage, daily visits, and employee numbers remain at the bottom when it comes to Level 5's libraries, Spring Hill ranks among the top for circulation. According to data presented, Spring Hill ranks third with 365,067 items checked out annually, behind Brentwood at 465,479 and Johnson City at 507,940. Even though we have fewer people come in, we are the homeschool library, Giroux said. They check out up to 30 items a week, and we process all of those that come in and come out. It's quite a dramatic number there, she said. And those numbers are just physical circulation, not including online transactions and other services the library provides. This includes more than 365,000 print, DVD, audio, and CD checkouts, as well as over 115,000 ebook, e-audio, and streaming checkouts in 2023. Additional services include rentals of Wi-Fi hotspots, computers, video games, memory kits for those experiencing dementia, and even a car charger in the event customers might need a jump. It happens more than you might expect, Giroux said. These services amounted to 5,177 checkouts just last year. Another aspect of the library Giroux touched on was its services and programs for early childhood learning. This is another area she hopes to see grow as the city's population increases, and that while space is definitely a need, providing a well-rounded education program to future generations is also a testament. Early literacy is, of course, our bread and butter. Our children, our homeschool community, she said. Our targets are providing programs for literacy from birth all the way from baby time to high school, she said. This includes programs like partnering with the Boys and Girls Club to visit schools and provide tutoring for students struggling with reading skills. The future of the Spring Hill Public Library has been a major topic for many years amongst the Board of Mayor and Aldermen in a search to address its expansion needs, at one point being considered for relocation to the Northfield Development Center building. When it came time to discuss the presentation, board members seemed in support of the request, given that it would provide a solution of some kind, even if it isn't the ultimate goal of having a new building. Alderman Matt Fitterer suggested the notion of implementing a fee for members who are not Spring Hill residents, which is typical in other libraries, while locals would generate funding via local property taxes. The library does currently charge a $25 membership fee, but only to residents outside Williamson and Murray counties, Giroux said. Fitterer said it's a suggestion he has made in the past but was never adopted, and that the library board should revisit the idea. I know the Level 5 is based on the population you serve, not necessarily the population of the city, because I think we know we have a lot of people outside of the city limits who come and use the public library, Fitterer said. That's fine, and I think it's fair to welcome them in, but I also think it's fair to ask them to help financially support the library and the services they aren't paying for through property taxes, he said. Alderman John Canterbury said the non-resident fee would likely only generate the $26,000 Williamson County currently allots each year, and so might not be the best solution. Canterbury concluded, saying part of the library's continued progress has been through straying away from cost increases while also having employees working overtime to remain within the annual budget. The main goal should remain in the design and progress in creating a larger, more modern facility to meet the state standards, as well as fall in line with the other Level 5 state libraries. This includes a design proposal to be included in the upcoming fiscal budget, which will go before the Board of Mayor and Aldermen in June. It's coming. A new building is coming as long as I'm sitting here, Canterbury said. I'm going to keep my eye on the budget, he said. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Mrs. Lydia Kathy McDade Foster, 70, a resident of Columbia, died Wednesday, April 3rd at NHC Healthcare Columbia. Funeral services will be conducted on Monday, April 8th at 1 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Pleasant Garden Cemetery in Summertown. The family will visit with friends on Monday from 11 until 1 at the funeral home. Mr. William Billy Fowler Ridley, 55, a self-employed carpenter and resident of Columbia, died Thursday, April 4th in Columbia. Funeral services for Mr. Ridley will be conducted on Thursday at 1 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Rose Hill Cemetery. The family will visit with friends on Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the funeral home. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Maury County families in the ways they prefer. And why Matt and Susie Sowell believe the way to honor tradition is with especially personal service.
We believe your traditions, your customs, your rites of passage are very important. But we also believe in taking care of your personal wishes as well.
At Oaks and Nichols, we try to do more than just the expected things, so the service you receive honors your heritage and is uniquely yours. And we invite you to experience the difference.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have variable clouds with scattered thunderstorms today. The high will be 74 degrees with winds out of the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. The chance of rain, 100%. Tonight, we can expect showers this evening, becoming a steady rain overnight. The low will be 58 degrees with winds continuing out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. The chance of overnight rain, 80%. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group. And if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs. And I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter Agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Bank with First Farmers and you can bank with confidence. With personalized solutions, dedicated experts, and over a century of experience, First Farmers lets you feel secure and empowered in your financial choices. This is Felicia Brown with First Farmers, and I would like to remind you that no matter your goals, First Farmers is here for you. Visit myfirstfarmers.com or call 1-800-882-8378 to switch to First Farmers today. Member FDIC.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
This is Bob Kessling with Pat Ryan. It's a beautiful day for digging. The backhoe operator has the engine running and is moving into position. He's heading for the ground. He's in there. Wait, there's a flag on the play. Let's get out of the field for the call from our official.
Illegal procedure on the digging team.
Oh, that penalty could cause a costly accident.
That's right, Bob. He needs to call before he digs. There's underground utility lines that could be hiding just below the surface. Water, sewer, electrical, communication lines, and even natural gas.
Avoid a penalty by first calling 811 to have any underground public utility lines located and marked with flags or paint.
It's free, it's easy, and it's the law.
For more tips, visit pipesafety.org. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and the Tennessee Gas Association, funded in part by a grant from the Underground Utility Damage Enforcement Board.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. Tennessee's statewide spring turkey hunting season opens Saturday, April 13th and continues through Sunday, May 26th. According to Roger Shields, the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency's Wild Turkey Program Coordinator, hunter success may depend on what area of the state you will be hunting. I think with the early spring we appear to be having, we should have a decent season, depending on which part of the state you will be hunting in, he said. West Tennessee has seen a few years of really good production, and I suspect they will see the best numbers along with the central portion of the state. Productivity in the Northeast has not been as good the past couple of years, he said. In 2023, the spring harvest was 31,802 birds, a 6% increase from 2022, and 2% decrease over the previous five-year average. Harvest during the beginning of the season was extremely high and decreased as the season progressed. A total of 25,500 hunters harvested at least one turkey, 20% greater than the five-year average of successful hunters. All 95 counties are open this year with the same hunting season dates. The spring turkey bag limit is one bearded turkey per day, not to exceed two per person, and only one can be a jake. An adult gobbler is defined by having one of the following: wing feathers having white barring all the way to the tip, tail feathers all the same length, beard has to be longer than 6 inches, or a spur at least 1/2 inch long. Hunters are reminded about tag before you drag, where hunters tag their big game, in the field prior to moving. Hunters can use the TWRA On The Go app to simply e-tag and report their harvest in the field in one easy step. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff, or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Minutes matter when you call 911 for a heart attack, and Murray Regional Health is ready to care for you. Utilizing the state-of-the-art cardiac cath lab at Murray Regional Medical Center, our team of expert cardiologists and experienced clinical professionals are equipped to investigate heart conditions quickly and perform life-saving interventional procedures. Go to murrayregional.com/heart to learn more. And remember, always dial 911 when you or someone near you is experiencing heart attack symptoms. Murray Regional Health, where clinical excellence meets compassionate care.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. Looking for a quick getaway across the pond and beyond? Nashville International Airport's direct flights have expanded service on popular routes to London, in addition to several new service options starting this spring and summer. This month, British Airways began flying passengers on larger Boeing 777-200ER jets. The new aircraft increases passenger loads from 214 to 272 people per flight. Why? The airline has been running packed flights. The new planes also add business class seats. Other new and expanded routes coming to BNA include, starting April 9th, Southwest Airlines starts service to Buffalo. On April 22nd, Delta Airlines begins 3 times daily flights to Austin. On May 1st, Air Canada resumes 3 times weekly service to Montreal and Quebec. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM WKRM Radio. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great day.